Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic words seasoned just right to flavor your taste buds.
The words are the new Viagra that keeps you up, channelizing your soul into submission. Sensual and sexy as her poetry acts and answers questions you are scared to approach. Who is she? She is LSO, an erotic poet.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the LSO Treat Show. I am the founder and owner of LSO ! I am a writer, independent published author of 3 erotic books, yearly calendar, playing cards, and so much more. I am also the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. With LSO, you're bound to get some of much and a lot of many. LSO is an HBCU graduate and also Master Summa Cum Laude. That's just some of the backbone of my YAM, hashtag my LSO. Excuse me, I work in inspirational and empowerment, speaking, advising, writing, spoken word, and so much more. LSO is comprised of many talents with the master of all with no regrets. Let's not forget the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. LSO has that creative diversity that captures you and make you want to do everything she says and try it more than once. When you enter into her space, her imagination encourages your truth and the escape to pleasures beyond your imagination. LSO vows to create her, I'm getting tongue-tied all day today. LSO vows to keep her creative juices flowing so that you can experience and then manifest all that is for you. So come along for the ride, pun intended. LSO never disappoints and promises limitless possibilities. So let's get ready for tonight's show. Tonight's show title is Life's Challenges, Coping in the Moment and Lasting a Lifetime. Now, the thing is, we had this show back in January. January 31st. That was part one. So now we're going to have part two. So get ready, y'all. Note, these are our personal and or research opinions. So call in with your confessions. Remember, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show is a safe space and a no-judgment zone where transparency is at its best. So call in with your questions. Remember, LSO have the paddle and the whip. Now, now, now. Y'all know how we do it here on the LSO Treat Show. Where Miss K at? Is she in the building? Miss K, in the building. Woo!
Miss K, how are you? What's up? And so you gotta excuse me because your girl is a little hoarse, but I'm here.
Okay. Worry about it. We're going to do like how we always do. But you know what? Tonight we got some testosterone joining in with us. We got D. Smith in the building of D. Smith.
What?
It's D. What's
going on, people? What's going on, people? Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening. How y'all doing?
What's up, D. Smith?
We got some more good. We're not finished with y'all tonight. We are not finished. We have Miss No Things, the sexuality coach in the building. She's in the building.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. We had this conversation back in January, and the conversation was so powerful. We didn't get a chance to finish the conversation. So now this is part two. Now, everyone, please be made aware that these are our personal opinions, and we respect each other's opinions. So we're just going to dive right into it, and it's commercial free. No advertisements, no music, nothing. Straight talk, 2 hours, you and I. So, and if you want to join in on Facebook Live, on IG Live, feel free to ask to join in. We can make it happen on both the radio and on IG Live. Are y'all ready this evening?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Let's get it cracking.
Now, again, the topic is life challenges, coping in the moment, yet lasting a lifetime. So we left off with one of the questions, how do finances change the dynamics of a relationship? So we're going to have Miss K answer, then we're going to have Miss Knows Things answer, then we're going to bring that testosterone in. But let me just give y'all a little peep at everything that's going on. Miss Knows Things, you know, she's always sides with the fellas. And that's, you know, she have her reason for doing so, which is fair. So she may sprinkle a little testosterone around, even though in all her femininity. So, Miss K, how do finances change the dynamic of a relationship?
Repeat that. I'm sorry.
How do finances change the dynamic of a relationship?
Ooh-wee. Finances play a big part in a relationship. Because when you have it, you don't have to worry about it. But when you don't, it's all you worry about. So
that is so true.
So when you have it, you know that you can rest assured that the bills will be paid. You know, if you wanted to do a little extracurricular activities, you can. You know, you could afford a certain lifestyle. But when finances aren't there, it usually causes a lot of fights. I know the majority of marriages break up due to finances. So finances play a big part. And then don't get me wrong, there are times when there's an abuse of finances. You know, there could be a partner that makes more money than the other partner, but still require like half on whatever. And you know your partner doesn't make what he makes. So, you know, like I said, if finances are flowing and they're good, you know, it's less of a problem. But if you don't have it, it becomes almost everything.
You know, so that goes back to saying money is the root of all evil.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Money is not the root of all evil, and I'm going to tell you why.
Absolutely.
Money is not the root of all evil because without movement, money does nothing. Money is a currency. So if you do not put it in play, it does nothing. It just sits there just like your television sits there or anything else, right? I think man's intention with money can be the root of all evil because you know that. If you don't put money in play, it doesn't do anything. So it's whatever intention you put behind it could be the root of all evil, but not money itself.
Absolutely. I agree with her.
I agree with Ms. Kay. I do.
Okay, now I tried to invite each of you, and of course it's not doing it. I sent an invite to each of you, so if y'all wanted to come on, and it's not working. So I don't know if y'all received an invite or not. Let me know if y'all received an invite from me from Instagram.
I do, but I don't know what it's going to do when I come on as far as audio. Let's see.
Oh, well, then just turn your audio down on your phone if you're coming on your phone. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lag between the radio and Instagram. Instagram is a little bit slower.
Right. So,
yeah, I sent in the request though.
Okay, and I just answered. So talk on the phone. Don't talk on Instagram. Miss Kate, did you get through
it? Do you hear any? To answer the question with when it comes to finances and then how it ruins your relationship. So you can get into a relationship, you can have the conversation, and it could be the man is making more money at this present point and it's going well and things like that. Then it shifts.
Now, if a person is an independent person and now the other person has all this control over money, it causes a conflict. Now, a lot of times that ends up, like Ms. K said, you end up breaking up. Okay, so I hope there's no feedback.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Can you hear the feedback?
So you have to take off your you have to take off, turn your cell phone down and just talk. Whatever you're talking on, just continue talking on that. And whatever you're playing your IG on, turn that volume down.
Well, the IG is on my laptop and on my phone.
Turn your laptop down. Turn your laptop
down. I turn both videos down.
And
yeah,
still,
my IG.
I don't hear. Anybody else hear feedback?
Do y'all hear the feedback?
Okay. So maybe you're hearing it on your end.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine then. So,
okay. Hey, can you come on as well? And what about D. Smith? Can you come on?
It's gonna be hard.
Okay.
I'm on IG right now. It is late, but I don't see a button to join or the quest to join. Let me see.
Okay, I did request you.
Okay,
so while you're looking for it, D. Smith,
mm-hmm.
how do finances change the dynamic of a relationship?
It just so happens I saw a meme not too long ago. I was in a group and somebody posted something, and it was to the effect of something about, you know, men not – no, that's what it was. It was a Kevin Samuels clip where he was talking to some young guy, and he asked him about how much money he made. He was saying if you're 30 years old and you're not making $40,000 or whatever, at least, you know, you're behind. And that's why you can't talk to women because your pockets ain't right. Your confidence ain't right. Your pockets ain't right. So when you said that, I was like, oh, shit, yeah, that kind of makes sense. So in line with what you just asked, you know, it's hard for men to try to be confident when their money situation is together, you know. And I'm going to kind of split this in a few different directions. Not just necessarily a man's money situation not being together, but a woman's situation with money not being together, you know, like. If you're taking more, like let's say the man is you know, taking care of everything, but if you're adding more debt to what's already happening, you know, you're not helping the financial situation either, you know. And also, to include both of them, the relationship with money, you know, I think is what is the one, the root of all evil, and two, the reason that so many marriages end in divorce. For financial reasons. It ain't just because we ain't got no money. It's because we ain't managing the money that we got.
Correct. True statement.
You know, so it may be that there's some poor money management skills on both ends and lack of working together financial situations that lead to so many divorces, you know, happening.
Well, it's interesting because you said when men don't have money, but it's also when women don't have money. So I wouldn't necessarily generalize it to say when a man don't have money or when a woman don't have money, how it plays an impact. I would say either way, it's going to play a detrimental part and have an impact on the relationship and both people
right.
as a whole when finances are involved. And usually the one who have the money has the louder voice. But if you
True.
Respect each other enough, then it doesn't matter who has the louder voice or who has the squeaky voice. It's because y'all coming together as one and making it work. And yes, money plays a dirty part in a lot of living because those who have it tend to want more, and those who don't have it, some of them will actually do anything to actually get it.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that the way that they go about getting it you know, is the right way or the wrong way. It's just the way that they chose to get it. And, right, like Virtuous Evie said, communication, people talk to each other. That was one of the first words that we used on my very first show back in 2018, communication. You have to communicate with your partner, be it in a friendship, be it in a relationship, be it in a marriage, in all things. You have to communicate, because when you communicate, you're set in the presence of what is expected of you, what is expected of the other person. And people are not mind readers. People are not mind readers. And you can't expect them to know how you move and how you operate if you don't let them know beforehand. So it's very important to communicate. And not only that you communicate, is that they understand what it is that you're saying. That's the key thing. Ooh, somebody put, nope, I'm eating steak and she can have the turkey ass, LOL. No. No, we will not be doing that. If you have steak, then she should have a steak too. So y'all both have to join in together, and y'all both have it together. You have to be able to share. And when you share, that's what it is that you do to and for each other. Do not let finances interrupt your lifestyle with your mate, with your friendship, with anything, because finances can come in and disrupt everything, and it can make you lose a best friend of 100 years. It can make you dislike your family members, turn your back on them. It can ruin your relationships with your children. Money can play a very evil part if you don't know how to budget it correctly. And you need to budget it for how.
Again, it comes down to the relationship with money. You know, if you have a situation where one spouse is making, let's say there's a power trip, one spouse is making more money than the other one, so they're both pulling all the strings in the relationship. You know, that's a relationship with money. You know, and a lot of people's relationship with money transfers into the relationship itself. You know, if you're selfish, you know, if you're, you know, not accountable. You know, if you just spend because you just like spending and buying shit or accumulating things, you know, all of those things are relationships with money, you know? So
right.
If y'all don't sit down and talk about it and decide, hey, this is what we need to spend on bills this month or this week or whatever. This is the money we're going to put to the side to go out. You know, this is the money we're going to use for the school fees and, you know, all the stuff the kids need. So if you're going to talk that shit out, you're going to run into a whole lot of problems.
Well, that is true. Young lady said, well, not a young lady. Someone said, both in a couple can have money and neither one is worth nothing. Their marriage still can be terrible. That's absolutely correct. But the key thing is, you make any relationship what you need it to be for you. Anything can come in and enter your relationship. It don't necessarily have to be money. It can be the food that you cooked for dinner can come in and disrupt your relationship. It can be the clothes that you wore for that day disrupt your relationship. So, again, it goes back to the communication in your relationship so you know what to expect from each other. And how
you got
to
a petty ass relationship. You got a petty ass relationship if the food bothering you and the clothes are bothering you. You with the wrong one.
I mean, it's very temperamental. People find things and they use anything to start an argument or a disagreement or whatever.
That's immature.
So you have to be respectful.
That's immature. That's a relationship you need to deal with.
Okay, someone says, I handle state, he handles federal. See, in all things, you should have balance. And when you have balance, you won't allow finances or clothing or anything come in the way of that because you have balance in what it is that each of you are doing.
So I have this question to ask you. Sorry to interrupt you.
self, what do individuals don't know about balancing?
Let me say that again.
What if individuals don't know or understand about balance?
Well, that's why you learn your partner. Again, it goes back to communicating and making sure they're understanding what it is that you're communicating. If you don't share with your partner, then how do they know? And maybe neither one of you, maybe neither one of you know what's going on. But the key thing is, if you tell them, then y'all have a chance to work it out and make it happen. But they're not a mind reader. They don't know that this is what you're thinking. Someone said, man, money paper, put more value into the relationship and things will balance out. But see, sometimes it's not necessarily putting money into the relationship.
Absolutely.
It's putting quality time into the relationship. Investing, you don't always have to invest in a relationship via financially. No, she's not. You don't always have to invest in a relationship financially. You can invest in a relationship via your time, via you doing the housework, via you taking care of the kids, via you taking care of one of the parents, whatever. Everything plays a part in a relationship. That's why you have that balance part, because that balance will balance out, okay, one may be the breadwinner, but the other one run the house. That don't make them any less than.
Right.
One is running a house. It's just a different standard of how things are getting done. Yes, a lot of people don't know how to handle finances. You're absolutely correct.
And sometimes that's why one person in a relationship should really know how to handle finances, because the other one may not know. And when you two come together, the other one will be able to balance out to see, okay, we don't need to spend $5,000 on X, Y, and Z. Let's take this $5,000 and invest it so we can just explore, because that person may have a bad relationship with money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with
right.
that. Absolutely. Again, and another thing too to add to that, if one person is good with finances and the other one maybe not so much, it's incumbent on the one who doesn't know to learn from the one who does. So that that balances out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there should be a, and this is, and this goes to what you were saying earlier about learning your partner. You know, if you really love who you're with, you're going to want to see them come up. You're going to have to gird them up.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? If they're good at spelling, you're going to have to help them get a little bit better at spelling. If they ain't good with finances, you need to help get them better with finances. Because if you guys are rising together, that's the end goal, to rise together. So,
right.
You know,
now,
there should definitely be a way to balance that out by learning.
Well, let me say this. What if the person doesn't want to learn? Because, you know, we have relationships where people, they don't want to learn how to be more self-sufficient. But wait, just hear what I'm saying, though. But this also, it transcends money. You know, you could be in a relationship and you're like, hey, I'm trying to help you with skills to just be a better version of yourself, not just necessarily money. But
right.
there are people
right.
that don't want to take on any of that, you know, because a lot of people don't do the work. Wait, but this is the majority of the population. They don't want to do the work, but they feel if they meet somebody, that somebody could carry their luggage for them. You see what
it's
I'm saying?
Simple.
They could carry those
don't,
issues.
That luggage
simple.
Better
don't
come on wheels.
Don't fuck with them.
Yeah.
It's quite simple.
Mm.
It's quite simple. That sounds like somebody that's codependent. A lot of people, a lot of adults are very codependent. There are a lot of people out here who scream this independent bullshit, but they're really codependent because everybody need help. So,
But see, there's something in a relationship that
you're
going to have to give and take in the relationship.
Yeah.
So if they don't want to learn, then therefore you know this is where your expertise lies, and this is what you have to do, and this is what you're bringing to the relationship. So this is the part that you're going to handle, and then they may handle something else. Someone said you want to teach them what you know. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm trying. And then they said that's a good point. Okay, Cannon Mack, he said this ain't school. Every day is school because every day you are learning. If you are learning something, then you're missing out because every day you should learn something new.
Right, you're not living unless you're learning. You know, you're not life. You're just stagnant.
Here's my thing. I don't want to be with somebody who I can't learn anything from.
Absolutely.
Right.
I don't want to be with somebody that has nothing to offer me in exchange. Like, I have a lot to, you know, impart. I can't really teach you shit. I can just live by example and, you know, show you what I do. If you learn from that, then great. But, you know, I also want somebody who can also show me some things that I may get abreast to.
Right.
You know?
I just want to interject and just say this. Because understand this. Everybody's not supposed to be good in everything. So, right? So if you have a strong suit in something, isn't it about the partnership that I can submit that area to you as opposed to if I have a strong suit in something, you submit that area to me? I mean, in the process, it should be that if I want to learn, it's available to me, not forced upon me. Like, you're going to learn it. Like, you know,
no,
if I want to.
That balance comes
when
in.
You got to force. Right. When you have to force somebody, the game is kind of over. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's true.
Why do I have to force you to learn something or to want to learn something that's going to make not only you better, but us better?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Why do I have to waste time with that?
Willing. Always ready and willing. Because y'all need to be with teachers because life teaches you, not your partner. Wrong. I don't agree with you. In reference
wrong,
with LOL.
Wrong,
okay.
Wrong. I don't agree with that. Boo. No.
The people you have in your life everybody teaches you something or should. Everybody teaches you something. You should learn something
from
everything
around. Everybody is teaching you something. Even your worst partners are teaching you. Your worst partners are teaching you how much you're not loving yourself enough. Okay, so everybody's teaching you something. Now, what you choose to take from that is what you take from
you.
It. But everybody is teaching you, what you know, some people choose to be bitter and not learn a lesson from it and not see how they can love themselves from a healthier place. And then other people choose to learn from it, grow from it, and change their energies and attract people on a higher vibration as to where they want to be. But then you have those that don't and stay stagnant in that same place. And then they wonder why they keep repeating the same cycle, different face, different name, but same person. That's because you didn't learn a lesson.
You
didn't
learn
the lesson of self. So you learned that lesson of self-preservation, self-love, self-worth. Until you learn those things, you're going to constantly be in that cycle of repeating and because you're still stuck in that same energetic cycle. So unless you learn from it, you won't be stuck in it. That's all I'm going to say.
Absolutely.
The next question. I'm going to hit some nerves now. I'm about to hit some nerves. How do one accept medicine's interruption of their sex life? Now, let me explain that. There are certain medicines that can mess with the body parts and they don't cause them to function as how they used to. Now, how do you deal with that? So, Ms. K, we're going to start with you. D. Smith, we're leaving you for last. Okay, message says, nah, son, I'm going to keep seeing these strippers because they love dollars. Okay, keep us. See, now that's going back into dynamics of finances. So you go ahead with your strippers. You better get that little blue pill or get... the balance of the medicine, the beta blocker, So you know you have like the positive negative going on. But Ms. Kane, how do one accept medicine's interruption of their sex life?
medicine's inter. Wait a minute. Medicine's interruption.
Yes, because there are certain medicines. For instance, people who have sugar diabetes.
Oh, I got you. Gotcha.
After a while, it starts messing with the, you know.
Ooh wee. Now that's a hard. That's hard right there. I empathize with anybody who has to.
Point is, it's supposed to be hard.
That's what makes it even harder. No. Listen. Then you know what, y'all, you're gonna have to look into other things. Like your toy game gonna have to step up. Your partner's gonna have to like use toys like it's him or use toys like it's her, or whatever the case may be. You know, you're gonna have to find other ways to please and arouse your partner. And
I totally agree.
And
add longer foreplay.
Mhm.
Someone said, "What you talking about, Willis?" But listen, you still have to improvise. If you're falling short in one area, you're going to have to pick up in another area to kind of, again, this word balance, kind of balance that out so that no one is left unsatisfied. Miss knows things.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Yes.
Right up your alley.
I love how Ms. Kane said that adding toys because things that I was going to say, because that's so important and also informal. But here's the thing to that, too. Before you even start and you start to notice that your medication is starting to cause issues, it's that communication. That communication with your partner to say, okay, so this medicine is doing this, so we need to figure out how we can please each other because of this medication. And the comprehension of the partner to understand. Toys, relaxation,
right.
Intimacy, foreplay. You know, what if somebody has, you know, it's not even just medication. What if somebody has some form of surgery and they can't have sex for a period of time?
Mm-hmm.
What you going to do then? You got to figure it out. You know, you got to work it, make it work. You know, there's situations where a woman has a hysterectomy and she couldn't have sex for a certain amount of time. Is her partner okay with having oral foreplay? You know, does their partner need penetration? It's those types of things.
But see, that's part of the, for better or worse, in a marriage.
Not even necessarily in a marriage. You could be in a relationship. You could be in a committed relationship in that community.
Well, that too. But
that's true. But
I'm just saying, in a marriage, they do have for better or worse. So that may be the worst part. Message came in. Listen, if medication messing with stuff, I ain't taking that. F that. Look, now you're choosing between sex and your health. And sex is that important? Mm. K's beat off, Jack, come on, if the fingers are working, you know, there's toys put on a wall, suction, bam, go up to it and get it in, like what,
right.
But I also think
with the exception of like certain things that can be reversed, I think if your partner knows that they have developed this thing, then it's up to them to work on trying to heal themselves so that they can, you know, be a better version of themselves so that they can be more whole. You know, it doesn't have to be a situation where you just, okay, this is what it is. I just accept it. I roll over and I just die. No. Okay, you have diabetes. Now, what are you doing? What are you doing about it? Are you exercising? Have you changed your diet? Are you cutting down on the sugars? Are you not drinking, you know, if alcohol was an issue or you stopped drinking? What are you doing? How are you trying to be healthier so that you can get your life back, you know, get your productivity back? You want to have somebody who's being proactive.
Some things you can do to be proactive and reactive, and then there's other things that it just happened and you have to deal with it. So D. Smith.
I mean,
come on, D. Smith.
I mean, if
I need
somebody has cancer, then I understand.
Excuse me?
I mean, if somebody has, like, cancer or something that's, like, terminal, then, yeah, I can totally understand where, you know, even that, if you change your diet and things of that nature, you can improve your health. Diabetes is one of those things, too.
You can improve your health in any case, but the thing is, some you can reverse. Some is non-reversible, and the others you just have to deal with it. So how do you balance that out? So D. Smith, how do one accept medicine's interruption of their sex life?
Well, you get the medicine to fix that shit.
You use what's available
and what's on the counter. What's behind the counter to fix that? You know,
get some horny goat weed. Stop playing.
Right.
Get some horny goat weed. You know, get some pomegranate. Get some ashwagandha. You know, there's some stuff that you can get. You know,
yeah.
How he on top me.
Yeah, you use the other shit that fixes that, and that's how you get over that, I guess.
You can't always use the blue pill when you're having issues with diabetes and stuff like that. So, you know, the blue pill doesn't always work with certain medications. You have to
That's true too.
Right.
That's true too. But then your head game and your finger bang game better be bet.
Exactly.
Better be on point.
Exactly.
Right.
You gotta get stronger in other areas.
See, the key thing is you have to improvise. You have to improvise and make it work for you. So if that is the case, then what you have to do is work it out.
Right.
Work it out. Because add different things to foreplay. Foreplay don't have to be 5 minutes. Maybe foreplay needs to be 15 or 20 minutes. And foreplay can also mean where you can start. Actually, your foreplay can be all day. You can start while you at work, he's at work. You can start by sending text messages. You can start by sending pictures. You can start by leaving your underwear in his coat pocket when he leaves to go to work. So he's smelling you, but he don't know where you at. So he's looking around for you. All along, you're getting everything riled up for the time to happen. So by the time y'all walk in from a long day of work, y'all ready already because you done set the stage for it the whole entire day. So, LSO. How do you accept medicines that interrupt your sex life? Well, first, we're going to start with working on our health. Get to the best, healthiest position that we can actually be in for ourselves. So one, that can possibly either, one, alleviate you having to take medicine, or two, it can alleviate a lesser dose. So therefore, it'll impact you not as harshly as it would normally. A message came in and says, you can please your partner without laying a finger on them, but a lot of people don't know their partner enough to make that happen. That is so
absolutely
true.
Right. Absolutely right.
So get that opportunity to learn that. That's why you need one of LSO books, because she can teach you how to mentally stimulate and make it work for you. Also, find if there's a beta blocker. I mentioned that earlier. Find if there's a beta blocker to the medicine so that the medicine that you're taking is actually doing the job that it needs to do in reference to your health. Beta blocker of it also, you know, tend to let you have that arousal. You can stay a little longer or what have you, or you can actually feel it. So there's ways around things, but you got to put in the work to actually do that. And then again, you know, like we said earlier, try adding toys, role play, games, and add all these things in the mix. You'll be surprised how much you can get out of this if you just take the time to learn your partner and work with your partner, and you won't even have to lay a hand on them. Y'all can be in across the room for each other, from each other, or one can be in one room, one can be in another room, and y'all can have a whole total session where you didn't touch him and he didn't touch you.
You could be at work in his bathroom.
Exactly.
You had a whole working environment in different locations and done turned him on and had a whole mind orgasm and everything.
Exactly. But you have to be willing to put in the work and experience that with your partner. Some people are not ready to explore that far. So, D. Smith, let me just ask you.
Uh-huh.
How would you take if a woman is texting you during the day and just sending you little love notes and even maybe emailing you and a picture or two, and a picture can be just maybe you have a foot fetish and she sends you a picture of her freshly polished toes. How would you feel by the time you reach home if during the whole day it's been leading up to when you get home?
Depends on how our feet look. Depends on how our feet look.
Okay. The feet was just an example. But if a woman is texting you and emailing you or calling you during the course of the day and giving you all the attention, what is it that you're expecting?
I mean, it should be kind of obvious what I'm going to be expecting if these are the signals that I'm getting all day long.
That's the wrong thing to say. Don't say the obvious, because that's what we're going to have to be obvious.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Say that one time.
I said don't say it's the obvious, because that doesn't mean you're going to want to have sex. What is it that
it
you want for her to do?
It doesn't necessarily mean we have to have sex. That could be just something to stimulate me. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to end up in sex. You know, when I was married, there have been times when we were with each other during the course of the day, but at night, it just ended up in us cuddling, or it just ended up in us just, you know, vibing to some music or something, or just some chill time. You know, it wasn't necessarily always about a sexual thing, you know what I'm saying, even though there were some flirtatious things being, you know what I'm saying, being shown or being given. So I don't necessarily look at it like it has to end up in sex. It's probably going to end up in sex 9 times out of 10, of course. But I enjoy the experience of somebody who's willing to flirt with me. You know, and the experience of somebody who's willing to paint a picture in my mind and give me something to be ready to come home to. You know, whether that's a nice cooked dinner, whether that's some lingerie, whether that's you know, some cards or something. We can sit up and smoke a joint and play some cards, whether that's us working on a business plan, whether that's us reading something to each other, perhaps one of LSO's books. You know, intimacy, intimate time, just time together.
Yes, very so. It's very much so intimacy. And you mentioned cards. So, yes, cards, LSO have cards as well. So, I've actually played the cards on a Zoom before. Very interesting. So there's ways around doing certain things, but you just have to be willing to do it. Yes, intimacy is so very important. Ms. Knows Things and I, we have the same model as far as intimacy. Yes, smoking a joint can be very intimate. Listen, I mean, I don't smoke. I don't even know how to hold a cigarette. But, you know, and yes, it is very much fun. Like Ms. Nosing, she says, well, we both say intimacy is into me. And being intimate, when you're being intimate, that's into your mate. So when you use those words, make sure that you're taking care of you and you are taking care of your mate. And there's many ways to go about doing it. And so you're not stagnant in just one way. And remember that what you do for one or what you did in the past may not necessarily be what your current relationship requires. So, again, it goes back to that communication so that y'all can talk it through and figure out what makes the tick-tock in your body. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to be off balance and you're going to be doing something that she totally do not like.
Or what you don't like.
And believe it or not, there's some men who don't like oral sex.
Absolutely.
But
just like you look, there's a lot of women who don't like oral sex either. That's when you got to find that mate. That's when you got to find that mate to make sure your mate is up oral sex. Oh, you don't like oral sex. Right. Because you got to be sitting there and be doing more. You know, it's one of those things. But that goes into the communication and comprehension when y'all start dating and talking.
That's right. That strap one you use for him, I ain't into that. Listen, don't knock it until you try it.
Fact.
Don't knock it until you try it. Because it all depends on, you know, just a little tap. Just a little. Nothing that's going to hurt. Unless you're a sadist.
I'll just stick the head, please.
Okay. Okay, head for D. Smith. Okay.
Y'all keep that part, but just give me the head. I work
nope,
with that.
Nope, not. Okay. All right. Head for D. Smith, head for... Snack.
How gracious of you. How gracious of you just to accept head. How gracious.
Because I care.
You know, well, maybe he said just head for him. He may be giving, so he's reciprocating. He's going to, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, her?
Okay.
So make me lean back now. Stop playing.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me book me a trip here.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciation is reciprocation.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Someone said, I take the head for $1,000, Alex. My name is not Alex. Okay, next question. Now, this is very interesting. Very interesting because this has caused problems in relationships. How does children affect your sex life? Now, hear me out. We're not saying your child is a problem. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is, how do you have a healthy relationship and you have young children or you have grown children and you have to mesh all of that together and still be able to be a loving girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever. How does that play a part? Miss K, how does children affect your sex?
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Yeah, they totally do. They totally do. It's like, you know, your kids affect the sex life to the point you and your partner are like sneaky links. It's like, you got to be quiet because you're going to wake the kids up. You know, shh. You know, we gotta go over here and try to get a quickie because you know they're coming home from school. So, come on, hurry up. It's like you got to, you know, you like doing the sneaky link with your partner. Because you don't want them to hear you. You don't want them to see nothing. And God forbid they walk in your room when you're in the middle of it. you damn near have a heart attack and throw pillows at him. Call the goddamn show. You know, so, yeah, kids, yeah.
Somebody said
it's a challenge. Ooh,
right, it can be a challenge, but...
Let me tell you something. I'm not, look, stopping shit. So, look, the door's closed. If you don't knock, you gonna see it all. Like, don't
yeah,
come in here.
Exactly.
You just about to grow up a couple years.
You gonna see it.
That's all.
You gonna see it all.
That's all.
You might be traumatized. I really don't care because you shouldn't have came in to see anything. That's basically it. The door's closed.
Okay,
someone said,
you're a grown-ass woman sneaking in the closets and shit, but you paying the bills, but you don't have to sneak. Well, actually, the sneaking part is actually the fun part.
It is
so
fun.
So it's like,
sometimes it's fun.
You know, let's see if we can get caught. Or if we do get caught, what are they going to look like? Because I'm still, you know, doing what I'm doing.
Who told you to come in
right.
my room? Nobody told me to come in my room.
Right. Don't be busting in here like gangbusters. You want to see some stuff you didn't want to see. That's going to traumatize you. You're going to get traumatized. Do not do that. Okay?
That is
don't
the
do
truth.
And do that. That's just going to be on you. That's on
yeah.
you.
And then we're going to be paying for therapy because they don't see us have sex when they shouldn't have came
That's
in the
right.
room in the first place.
That's right. I'm traumatized.
Oh, wow.
I saw too much. You shouldn't have walked your black ass in there. That's it. You know, I've been walked in on by my youngest one, and I was like, get out of here. And he's like, ah. And he flew out of, you know. He never mentioned it ever again. He never mentioned it, and I didn't mention it either. But I didn't mention it because I really don't care. He didn't mention
it. Oh, you know,
because
you could mention
it.
It's the face. But someone said, no, it ain't who want to get caught by the kids because I ain't stopping, LOL. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest.
I didn't stop either. You know, it is what it is. It ain't happened.
I mean,
okay,
they don't come
so
out and
no,
watch.
I really do believe
once they see that
kids.
Shit, they out of there.
When,
they ain't coming back.
It all depends, like, the age. You shouldn't be busting in the room in the first place.
Right.
Mind
your business.
Unfortunately, you got to make time for, but like Kay said, it's that sneaking and you know, getting it in the middle of the day. They'll be home at 5 o'clock, and you know it's 4:30. We're going to get this in, you know, during cooking time. The kids is in there playing. You messing around
right.
with each other and stuff like that.
Right.
You got to make it fun.
Right.
It's not always set. Get the kids to bed and go in. Now, if you got
right.
kids that like to come in the bedroom, that's the night you got to lock the door.
That's it.
You
know what? But you know what? It's a good practice to say, hey, this is mommy and daddy time, you know, or
right.
this is
right.
mommy and so-and-so time. So let the kids know, like, so that you could craft the time so that they're aware, you know, like, do not disturb during this time. This is our
yeah,
time, adult time, you know.
Yeah, make boundaries.
Right, because if you show them to respect your relationship and the different dynamics in it, then they'll grow up learning to respect it. You know,
yeah.
If you don't set boundaries, for them, then they're gonna always, you know,
do whatever it
yeah.
is they want. Someone put giving
right.
the kids PTSD. They ain't never gonna do that position they saw you in. Oh well, that's on them.
That's it.
D. Smith, we coming on over to you.
Okay.
Someone said put the sock on the door. Ha. How does children affect your sex life?
I'm going to come at this from a different angle. Let's say you're single, newly divorced, your kids are grown or big enough to basically have their own life, and they ain't really trying to push your life. Now, having kids kind of becomes, you know, obsolete, or
not much of an issue, you know, because you can now go and, you know, move around freely having responsible children or children who are big enough to take care of themselves. Let's say you have younger kids mixed with older kids. Well, now you have older kids who kind of babysit the younger kids, so then your problem may not be an issue. Now, granted that your kids are well-behaved, you know, they shouldn't be interfering with your relationships anyway. But if you do happen to have troublesome kids, they're probably going to fuck up a lot of shit or drain a lot of energy from you, which will then affect your relationship. You know, if a man about a baby mom, you know what I'm saying, that can have a toll on a relationship, trying to have a relationship with a young woman. You're trying to get to know them or try to deal with them. That can interfere. You know, let's say he has a certain schedule where he has visitations and things of that nature. That can also interfere, you know, with your personal life or your sex life. So having kids is just a whole responsibility within itself on numerous levels that can affect, you know, a relationship. Not just them busting in, catching you fucking. You know, if you got badass kids and you stress all the goddamn time because they're just worrying the fuck out of you, that's probably going to affect somebody who, you know, you're in a relationship with. So, yeah, just to add a little different direction to it.
Someone asked a question. What do you do when a relationship is over but the kids still want to have a relationship with you?
Hey, that's a good question. That's a good question. You would have to be very mature people in that situation. From a man's standpoint, let's say you do develop a fondness for the kids, you know, and a respect for the kids, and the kids respect you. It ain't a whole lot of, good responsible examples. But they can always use another. And the kids take a liking to you, and they respect your opinion, even though you're not with their mom. That would then be a thing that you would have to work out with the mother, because she's going to continue dating and doing whatever she's going to do, and you being around shouldn't be causing an issue. So that's something y'all can work out where it's going to include the kids like you, and you can kind of come around it, spend some time with them, or, you know, technically, I don't know, however that works. That's something that two mature adults would have to actually work out.
Right.
Other than that, I would say lead as you, just because it can get very, very messy. You just have to take one for the team and, you know, show the kids respect when you see them. But it might be best that you part ways with the mom so that she has a space to find somebody to be with. And then you have a space to, you know, be with somebody. And then the kids' relationship with you is not complicating anything.
Someone said my 18-year-old will open my door like it's his room. Well, then he's going to see what's done in your room while he thinking it's his room. And then someone said, wow, they lost their benefits. Just joke. But to piggyback off of with children before I actually answer the question, but to piggyback off with children, what if the children is adults? What if you're taking care of a parent? You have a parent in the house. And if you should separate, do you separate from that parent as well? Don't everybody
say
get
that
quiet?
One more, say that one more time. Say
that again.
Like when the question was, how does children affect your sex life? Now let's replace children with adults. What if you have an adult in your home, such as you're caring for a parent, an elderly parent, or you have someone else in the home?
Oh,
I'm still doing mommy.
Well, then,
I'm still having sex. It just would have to be, you know, a little bit different where it's not like the little kids, but if I'm physically taking care of my parents, who's elderly and new things, I'm going to set them up first and then take care of my partner.
Okay.
Right.
Someone said parent in the house, turn their hearing aid off. That is so different. If they do know what it is, or maybe they remember what it was. But now LSO is going to answer the question. How does children affect your sex life? When I posed that question, I was thinking more or less, one, get your kids out your bed. Because there are some people, I was looking at something, and the child was still in the bed, and they said, mommy and daddy can't have mommy and daddy time because the baby is still in the bed. Get that baby out your bed. That's why you buy a crib. Mm-hmm. That's why you buy a rocker. That's why you buy all these other things for the child to be in. Put them in that. The longer you keep them in your bed, the longer they're going to want to stay in your bed as they get older. And then you're never going to have mommy and daddy time because you're going to have the child right in the middle of your bed. And mommy and daddy needs their time together outside of the kids, be it the kids are newborn, the kids, if they're toddler, or if the kids are grown. Mommy and daddy need mommy and daddy time. So the kids going to have to vacate the premises. And also you can add more quickies. And quickies can add spice. Quickies can add spice into your life because it's fun. It's fun. Someone put, if they can say that they need to be in their own bed. You're absolutely correct. Because if they're walking, talking, and whatever, yeah, they need to be in their own bed. Put them in their own bed.
You mentioned quickies. Quickies are really fun. Giving, like, yeah, head quickies are really fun.
It is.
You always going back to getting them, head. You always see this, right?
I'm just
always
saying.
You know why?
Because,
go back to head. You know why?
No, because it leaves them wanting the dick. So
what?
A quickie with head, it leaves you wanting the dick. So a quick, a quickie head session definitely leads up.
Are you sure? Is that leading you in the bus?
I'm very sure.
Huh? Oh, you are? So what?
That's fantastic. I'm very sure.
Moving right along. How do you overcome life challenges? Now, you know, we had some laughs, but now this is really serious because there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, and COVID has shined the light on so much. And you don't even go and need to look in the mirror to see what's going on with self. You can just sit in self and just stare out and you can see everything. So how to overcome life's challenges? Miss K, what are things you can do to overcome life's challenges?
Ooh, we have a sense of self so that you can be grounded, you know? Have a sense of self so that you can definitely be grounded in self. Try to establish a support system for when you are going through those things. Have a good sounding board. Like have a good support system, but have a good sounding board where people will tell you the truth, even if you don't like it. You know, be open to receive things that you might not want to hear about yourself. And then do the self-work. Do the self-work that keeps you from growing and being the best version of yourself. Do that work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Someone put head is beautiful. And then, for the current question we have at hand, someone put a journal. A journal always helps. So Ms. Knows Things, how to overcome life challenges.
The thing that Ms. Kitty said, journaling. I'm only going to talk about myself. Besides having a great support system, having intimate moments for me, because it helps me really relax and not really continue to stress on what's going on that I personally have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where you know you got to think about stuff. So when you use COVID, do I have control over COVID? I don't have control over COVID, but I have control over how I can protect myself as much as possible to not catch COVID. So also at the same time, if I'm feeling stressed out and angry and aggravated, it's having that support system, who can I speak to? And not necessarily always your friend. You do need a therapist. I'm going to have a therapy session because your friends and family that you have a close relationship with could be going through things also, and they won't need that jump that you're going through something.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, like I said, I always go back to it because it is what it is. It makes you feel good. It helps you relieve. And it just really releases all the endorphins that just makes, it doesn't change the world, but it makes you feel a certain type of way at that time.
Right.
Hey.
Okay. Someone put, most people don't like the truth, which is so true. And then someone put, overcome life challenges with sex and weed, LMAO. Now, get this D. We want to get the D on this.
Okay.
How to overcome life challenges.
Well, first off, you got to keep living. That's first off. Keep fucking living. And
okay.
Not give up. Because the minute you do, ain't nothing else to do but die. So as long as you are waking up every morning, thanking God for the breath in your lungs and then using the breath in your lungs to do something better with your life, that's how you get over it. You know what I'm saying? Now, eventually, you know, like bad times don't last always. They say trouble don't last always. You know what I'm saying? So you just keep living. Get your ass up and keep living. That's the only way to do it. You just got to keep up, keep living. Keep moving through,
you know,
shit.
Get how to live when something traumatic throws them, you know, put their back up against the wall or they're in a corner. Someone said amen. And they forget how to live. So how do you relearn living? Because if traumatic things happen in your life, whatever it may be, how do you move on? How do you live? Because all before you knew how to live, you just got up and you lived. But then something threw your back, and it feels like your back is on the wall and you can't move. Everything that you're trying to do, nothing is working. So how do you learn to live again?
You know what's crazy that you just said that? That's something that I've been thinking about on the healing process, age, that I was originally hurt and going back into healing that young person to be able to get better as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just saying that I literally was having that thought during meditation this weekend on what age was it was the true trauma hit me? Like, what was it that really hit? What, like, one of those things. So it is going into how do you live past your trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Okay, someone put find a new interest, and someone else put by keep pushing forward doing what you do. Okay, LSO, how do you overcome life's challenges? Well, I would say you pray to whoever you believe in. You meditate. Therapy always works. People stop being bamboozled thinking that therapy is for the weak. for therapy is for whatever, or thinking all the negative connotations with therapy. Therapy helps. Therapy is an outlet to get all of that weight up off of you. Sometimes you don't want to share certain things with friends because maybe you think you're going to be judgmental. Sometimes you don't want to share things with your parents. Sometimes you don't want to share things with your mate. And you hold all of that in. And in holding that in, what you're doing is tearing yourself up inside out. So you're walking around with a smile on your face, but yet your heart hurts. Your heart is crying. Your eyes is crying behind, but yet you still got to walk through, put a smile on your face. So don't let, when you hear the word therapy, that it's a bad thing. That could be the best thing ever for you. Because one, they're getting paid to do their job. That's number one. And number two, that's an outlet for you to express exactly how you feel. And the person has to be biased because the person don't know you at all.
Right.
So only thing they can do is give you the advice on their training or the schooling or what have you. Someone said, okay, if you do things you love, you are truly living, not what people think you should be doing. If you wanna wear boots like Kanye, if that's what makes you happy, then do it. Absolutely correct. And you want with no apologies. You're right. Do what's right for you. A lot of times people have been living in what everybody else wants them to be or how everyone else wants them, what it is they want them to do or what it is that they want them to, how they want them to dress or what profession that they should choose in. Stop doing what everyone wants you to do or expects you to do and start doing what makes you happy. If sweeping makes you happy, to be the best sweeper you can be. If being a doctor makes you happy, then you go all the way. Be the best surgeon you can be. And stop looking for people to respond with having an amen corner and people responding, oh, yeah, good job. Be your number one fan. Yeah, someone said, do you? Then they say, they be wearing that mask. You're absolutely correct. M-A-S-K, squiggly D. And that goes back to the other sector of M-A-S-K, squiggly D, where people wear so many masks that sometimes they get so far away from themselves that they don't even know who they are. But a lot of times you have to wear different masks every day because that's the place that you're put in.
Right.
So you're going to have to wear a mask for work. You're going to have to wear one for your kids. You're going to have to wear one in your relationship. You're going to have to wear one with your friends. But as long as the mask that you wear, you're not getting away from being your true self, then you are still authentic. It's when you start wearing them to fit in and to be tolerated and to be something that you're not, that's when it becomes fraudulent. So, you know, you have to do things accordingly to make things right for you. So, you know, and create a plan. Put something in action to go about doing what you need to do for you. Some things don't happen overnight. Well, actually, a lot of things don't happen overnight. But piecing it together, piece by piece by piece, it can happen. And get you a strong support team. Everybody is not your friend.
True.
Please understand that everyone is not your friend.
Say that shit one more. Say that shit one more again.
Most people are not your friend.
Know who your amen corner is. Because a friend to me is one who won't call me on my bullshit. That's a friend. Everything I know I'm doing something wrong, and you're like, yeah, girl, yeah, you got it. No, cut. No, I need to be called out on what it is that I do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes I need to call me out in the event because, you know, other people are around. Or pull me to the side and be like, you know that shit right there. That,
right.
You know, that we're not doing.
You shouldn't be doing that to embarrass somebody. Let me
right.
Like, after
that's
you
right.
finish doing what you're doing, it's like pulling aside. Let's have this
right.
conversation and not with an earside of anybody. It literally is in private. And I think that that's the part that a lot of people forget because you're definitely not showing respect that you have for that person. If you so-called love and respect that person, you wouldn't do that. It goes in the same thing when you're in a relationship. If your man or your woman did some shit outside in public, you know, you pull them to the side and be like, yo, don't you ever, whatever the case may be, you don't embarrass them in front of everybody else outside.
And someone said that's the only way to grow, and then someone also said your family is not family. You're right. Some family is just relatives. So you have to wean people out and put them in a prospective place in your life and rock out from there. I always say everyone has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And if everyone is fulfilling that purpose in your life, then their purpose is doing you more harm than it is helping you. Now, if you say we friends, then I should be able to call you at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and you don't
right.
get upset.
Right.
And I should be able to know that you're going to answer your phone. You may be dead sleep or dead tired, but I know that you said you're my friend, and you said if I ever need anything, and right now I need something, and I'm coming to you, I should be able to have that opportunity to do that.
Right.
There's some time, I'm going to tell you, I am that friend where after a certain time, if you calling me after a certain time is fucking hours. But I'll still be, you know, so you good, you okay? You need what? Okay, I'll be right there. Let me go. A little faster. I'll be on my way.
Hey, it happens. It happens.
Oh, you just gotta finish it off.
Right.
But I'm just saying.
Okay.
Now,
I see you got big red hours. You got some big red hours. 9 to 5. Huh?
No. Now, this one right here, this is a good question. And I had to pat myself on the back for this. The next two questions are going to be real good. So I need y'all to really think about what it is I'm getting ready to say to you or I'm getting ready to ask you. How does one accept and let go? But before that, someone put some people are pillars and some people are posts. You just got to learn the difference and treat them accordingly. You're absolutely correct.
That going to
how does accept and let go? So, Miss K?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. You ready? Because I want you to answer this
I'm ready.
One. How does one accept and let go?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, accept and let go. It has to do with forgiveness. You have to be willing to forgive not only that person. See, because forgiveness is not for them. It's to basically free you from them. So it would be you forgiving. You forgive them, but you have to forgive yourself. Because a lot of times we're more angry with ourselves than the person. We're more angry at ourselves because we allow them to get away with what they got away with. So until we address that part of ourselves and say, hey, you're really mad at yourself. And forgive yourself for not being having the unrealistic expectation of being perfect or you should have known. Understand that we're spirits having a human experience. We're not humans having a spiritual experience. You know what I'm saying? It's like we are spirits, but we're in human form. And being that we're a part of this big collective, it's a matter of us all downloading our experiences to the great collective in the sky or the creator, right? So all these experiences are being calculated back to our Creator. And at the end, if you think about it, it makes sense that there's an array of experiences, everything from soup to nuts. And we have the choice of, we have, excuse me, free will to decide which experience we're going to have in terms of how we tap into our vibration and our energy. So forgiveness is a choice. But if you choose yourself, then you will choose to forgive because you don't want to be connected to that thing, that negative thing, or that negative experience.
Things. We coming on over to you. How does one accept and let go? But someone put, nah, I'm petty. When they in the ground, it's over, and I'm letting go then. Okay.
This is something for me that I'm learning every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot give an answer on this works, this doesn't work, because for me it's something that I'm going through every day to let go and move on. And it goes with anything. The spiritual side, I still understand the spiritual side, because it is with one and going into this happened and it wasn't my fault. So I'm not going to, I have to stop blaming me for it. So like I said, so for me, this is an everyday process that I'm learning personally, because I'm different than what I was yesterday from an experience that has happened. So the same experience, something can happen to me and I may, and it all depends on the individual, and it could be this person, I can automatically cut off with this person I haven't cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that working the process of, okay, this person and this person did the same exact thing, so why are you still continuing to hold on to this person? What is it about this person that you can't let go and just let them just move on? So that's one of the things that I personally am working on an everyday, realizing, okay, the situation, what are they doing? Are they bringing value? Are they adding or subtracting? What is it about me that I'm not realizing how good I am to continue to keep holding on to? So it's not about them, it's about me.
Okay. Okay, D. Smith.
Facts.
How does one accept and let go?
How does one accept and let go?
Yes.
Just stop giving a fuck. To be real. You got to stop giving a fuck. Fuck that shit. I don't give a fuck about that shit. Like, you really do got to say that to yourself. You know, and I'm just thinking from my own experience, because I've definitely had situations where it's like, dude, you got to let that shit go. Like my situation with my ex-wife, it took me years to let that shit go. You know, not because I wanted her back, but because of the trauma from the divorce and shit. I had to eventually just like, man, you got to quit hating her. You got to let that shit go. You got to get to a place where it's like, you know what? I'm tired of holding that shit. I'm tired of carrying it with me. And fuck that shit. And you just leave that shit right there on the door and keep on walking.
Somebody put, ooh, then they put facts. Wow, that was real. I see. But you know what? You have to come to that realization within self that you're ready to let go, because maybe subconsciously you're holding on to the hate and the negative aspect of it because that has some form of relevance for you. But when you let it go, you no longer have it.
Yeah, the hate justifies how you feel, and I learned that. You know, holding on to bullshit, holding on to shit that really don't matter, a lot of times it justifies bullshit within yourself. So you hold on to it because it just gives you, it fuels you. You know what I'm saying? Like some people, like you ever wonder, or have you ever had somebody who just didn't like another person?
And he's like, well, what'd that person do to you? I just can't stand their ass. I just don't like them. You know, like, what's the problem? Is the problem them or is the problem you?
Mm-hmm.
See? So a lot of the things that you don't like ain't really about what you don't like. It's really about you figuring out why it bothers you to the point where you don't like it.
Right. Someone put, some people ain't grown. Then they put, nah, you hold on stuff because I choose violence and you ain't hurt them. Well, some people do actually choose violence and they want to go that particular route for whatever their reason. But we all have to learn to let go. And I'm still in that process, too, of learning to let go. But the thing is, when I let go, I cut off everything. And they said the best way to snake is cut it off at the head.
Yep.
So you can tell the tail is going to grow back. The tail is going to grow back. If you chop that head, that's it. So people have to learn to cut things at the head of it so that you can move on and move past it. And when one accept the role that you played in it and take accountability for you in the role that was being played. And then two, accept the accountability that this was your learning lesson. This is what you're supposed to learn. This is what you're supposed to go through. It's going to make you a better person. And all that good stuff and all that stuff that they say. But then you have to learn to let it go. And when you let things go, after you accept what happened, yes, you could be mad for a moment because it hurt. And everyone has the right to deal with their hurt, how they deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But deal with the hurt based on what you have control over.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have control over, you have the obligation to yourself to make that change. What you don't have control over, you turn it over to God, you turn it over to your higher being, and you move on. And that's when you let go. When you let go, there's so much freedom in when you let go than it is when you're holding on. So remember, when you let
stuff
that's causing issues, that's the best thing ever.
But you're talking about people who base their whole identity on what other people think of them, right? So
that's not necessarily people who base their identity on that. It's just people who have an issue with holding on to something that's tearing them up on the inside. For instance, you hold on to a relationship that's been dead, but you're not even in a relationship, but you're still holding on to it.
But that's my point. You're still holding on to the idea of other people and what they had about you in their head of you. It's you not separating yourself from the idea of what other people think of you. You want, and a lot of people get caught up in that. A lot of people have not done the self-work to separate themselves from what other people think of them. So a lot of times when you can't forgive and you can't move on from situations and you can't see that even though that situation was bad, and I'll use my life as an example. When I broke up with my ex, I was very upset. I was very hurt. I was very angry. I was very bitter. When I left him, when he lived with me, we had a two-bedroom apartment. It was mine. I'm not going to even say ours. It was mine. My two-bedroom apartment, one bathroom. I left him angry, upset, bitter, moved into a four-bedroom townhouse, got a truck outside. So my life upgraded. I did much better. But I was still hurt, angry, and bitter, and I spent more time being hurt, angry, and bitter than looking at the come up. Like, I fucking came up, but I would rather focus on being hurt, angry, and bitter. And then I got to a point where I said, hold up, do you not see how your life is now better because you left this dude? Like, he was not helping you advance. He was not helping your life become better. He was only a detraction from with your light and how you shine. And even though that was very hard to hear because I knew my feelings for him at one point, the reality is still the reality. I still came up. So that just went to show, once I let go of that energy, my life improved like tenfold.
Your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to check myself and my reality, because a lot of times we don't check ourselves. Sometimes we're just too caught up in our pain. We're too caught up in our perception.
Because it gives you some form of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be glorified in your pain, as opposed to using that same and glorify in things being happy. But this is going to be the last question for this evening. I know it's going to take everyone for a doozy.
Uh-oh.
How does one observe and decide? Now, first we had to accept it and let it go. So now, how do you observe what it is, and now you decide what you're going to do? So, Ms. Kay, you can just finish off on your conversation. That right there, you can just finish it off. How does one observe and decide?
Okay.
Someone said, how do you
go ahead. Read what they said.
How do you make the decision what to do, what's going on in any situation, be it good or bad? If you're in a situation, you're seeing what's going on, how do you make that, how do you decide what to do? Someone put your blessings wasn't coming because you was with him. God didn't want to bless you with him, Ms. Kay. That's a possibility. But sometimes your blessings are for you, and they're not for everyone. They're not for your
Absolutely. Because he was an opportunist. So, you know, I saw the change when things for him started to advance. Then I was no longer the woman for him. I saw that. But in terms of
controlling your emotions and not letting your emotions control you. Yeah, controlling your emotions is a lot.
Yeah, it is. It means a lot. It does mean a lot. And see, let me tell you something. People think controlling your emotions only on the physical plane means a lot. Controlling your emotions in the spiritual plane means a lot, too, because I'm very spiritual. So I had to learn, and actually I learned maybe about 10 to 15 years ago, that I had to control my emotions, especially in the spiritual realm, because being that I'm an open spirit, I would attract different types of spirits. And they all wouldn't be good. And they all would not say good things. So I had to learn to shut down parts of my emotions so that they would not get through. You know, I could and change the energy so that I would only receive a certain type of spirit that wanted to connect with me. And it had to be a high crown chakra spirit. It couldn't be a root chakra spirit. Root chakra spirits would be like Jeffrey Dahmer or freaking John Wayne Gacy, like serial killers and evil, not, you know, that's just an extreme, but there's a ray of low energy spirit. And a lot of them don't mean you good, is what I'm saying.
Someone said, hit him with her car. No, we're not. LOL.
Hit who in
no
my car?
With the car.
Oh, no. No, you know what? Because I said, what I said
right.
for him was karma will get him. Karma will have its, look, karma already had part its way with him. I kid you not. A month after we broke up, his younger brother completed suicide in the house. Karma had its way with him. What he did to me, he paid for, and he's going to continue to pay for it. Okay?
Right.
So it's never been about me trying to get him back or wanting harm for him, because karma, a month after we broke up, he came home and found that his younger brother completed suicide. So he's getting it, or he's got it, and he's going to continue to get it.
Because
it's like, until you do right by me,
right.
It ain't going to never be right. Until you do right by me.
Are we going to ask the same question? How does one observe and decide?
I'm an observer in general. So I watch everything. Like, I observe. I won't say anything. I can see you literally everything that is about to happen and just sit back and be like, it's time for me to just walk away. I can watch it and watch it happen. There are some situations where I can see it and I will inform and let somebody know, okay, this is about to happen. So what is it that you're going to do and about it? So it all depends on the situation, but I've had to learn to really observe how people treat me, because I allow them to treat me this particular way and let them go according to how they treated me. Because I was holding on to them, and then what happens is when I let them go, like Ms. Kay said, how his karma ends up coming back to him, their karma comes back to them, and it's no longer in my hand. And there's some individuals that the karma hits right away, and then sometimes the karma literally affects them every day. It don't make a difference. Every day, every way, it affects them because of what they did to me. So it, I'm an observer by nature anyway. So like I said before, it's what I choose to do. So I have to be the one to make the decision. It's not about what anybody else said or did or don't, you should do this, no, you need to do that. It's like it's time for me. I observed, I've seen it. The writing was all over the wall. It was there, it was big, and it's time for me to go.
Okay, someone put, the universe will work things out. You are so correct. D. Smith, who's in the mobile building. How
yes,
does
ma'am.
One observe and decide?
How does one observe and decide? By being honest with yourself about what you're seeing. You know, a lot of times people don't want to see what is right there in front of them. And sometimes it's an ugly truth. Sometimes it's a truth that means you the problem. And it ain't everybody else's issue. You know, sometimes it's, you know, a realization that you might have done more damage than you care to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really that needs to do the changing. You know, maybe it's a habit, like maybe you get violent or get stupid when you drink. Maybe it's a spending habit. Maybe it's a vice of some sort. Maybe it's the way you treat your mother or your father or your siblings. You know, maybe it's being unaccountable and sending everybody else through bullshit due to your unaccountability. You know, so part of observing and deciding is really just being honest with yourself about what it is that you do, the energy that you put out in the world. You know, be honest about what you're getting back. It's probably due to what you're putting out. You know,
right.
And if you're not try something different.
Some people don't know how to be honest with themselves because they're living a lie. And they're living a lie to appease everybody else around them as opposed to appeasing themselves. So, LSO,
right.
Before I ask you, I'm going to say, self, how does one observe and decide? First, because I had to write this out to make sure I get my thoughts out. When you face a particular challenge, take a step back from your feelings and make a plan. Someone put, they don't know how to be honest, period. That is true. And when you take a step back from the situation, you can tend to see the situation differently as opposed to looking, being in the situation and looking at it inside out. Now you're looking at it outside in. You're looking into whatever that challenge or that situation is. You actually removed yourself so that now you can see into it. Because usually when you're in it, you have blinders on. You're like this. You don't see nothing. You can't see in any direction. But when you remove the blinders and now you step out and you see a whole different picture, and therefore you can make a better decision what it is you need to do and how it is you need to do. And while it's important to still feel your feelings, I'm not saying don't feel what's actually going on. While it's important to still feel your feelings, when deciding on how to act you need to be as objective as possible. Because sometimes you're making a rash decision and you're just jumping out and leaping, and you may not have needed to do that. There was a better way to do something. Someone put into, okay, yeah. There's a better way to do something. So, and being as objective as possible is also acknowledging and taking accountability of the part that you played in whatever it is that's going on. Because once you see the part that you played, now you can assess, like, if you was being proactive or you were being reactive. Mm-hmm. And there's a better way of doing things. There's always a better way of doing things. One, especially when you're communicating with someone, your body posture can say something that your mouth is not saying, that your words are not saying. The clothes that you wear can possibly make a statement as well. The tone that you use when you talk to people, you can say the same thing, use the tone, that will bring a whole different array of whatever it is. So there's many different things that go on that can make a change with how you observe something and then how you decide to make a decision based on what it is that you observe. So there's a lot of things that come into play. And if you don't take time and step back, so yes, when things happen and you step back, and that counting method, someone said tone is important. It very much so. I used to think the counting method didn't work. But I found that has worked for me. Because in working, I received an email that was very not nice. I got on an email, like, Madea, type it. And I, you know what? I had to take a step back. Yes, actions are very important. I had to take a step back. I deleted everything. And I took a step back. I went and had my lunch. I went and did some more work. And I had to get everything together and process it so that I'm not giving you the same energy that you gave me yet. My point is going to scar you. And when I say scar, my point did scar them because now they came back and they are just the happiest person now with communicating with me. Now, had I did it the other way, how I was going to do it, it would have been a totally different ball game. But now I took a step back and looked into the situation. And that caused me to do things a little bit differently. So if a girl, you good, don't think I could have stepped back. You know what? I didn't think so either. That's why I started typing real fast. I had my Madea fingers going. But then I was like, you know what? And my thing is, and I tell this to my nieces all the time, do you know who my aunt is? So they're quick to tell you, do you know who my aunt is? So in the same token, I had to say to them as well, do you know who my father is? And that right there gave me some form of calm. But when I struck back, the words that I wrote was ever so gingerly and nice and kind, it hit harder than the words that I was originally using. So you're absolutely correct, Jesus. Someone said something I need to learn. Yeah, trust me, I'm still in my learning process. I'm still in the learning process. Trust and believe. But the point is, people can take you there, and I'm not allowing anyone to take me out of character. So what they looked for, I gave them, but I gave it to them in a different tone, and now they approach me so much gentler, whatever. So that's how you have to do what it is you need to do. But, of course, y'all know how we do it. We always have good conversations. This week I wanted to try something new by going live so people can see what goes on behind the scenes. And I was able to do this particular show commercial-free. We had very good ratings for part one of the show. We needed to get some more conversation in that we had to have part two with it. And now it's come to the end. But don't go nowhere because, you know, got to give you all the credit today. I have some phenomenal things coming up that each and every one of you need to be a part of. So, yes, LSO is still celebrating her birthday. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to celebrate until I get tired of celebrating. Because technically, every day, I'm a day older until I turn a year older. So I can celebrate as long as I want. We're going to say happy birthday to Aunt Jeanette. Today, my aunt turns 91. But technically, she may be older. We'll think about a part three. We'll see what.
Wow, that's amazing.
She turned 91 today, but I think she's actually older. But you know how that goes back during those times. Whenever the midwife, you know, went in and gave the information, that's when you had a birthday. So, happy birthday, Kim, Hector, Iviana, Cheryl, and Shirley. Also, we're going to send condolences to everyone who lost a loved one, a friend, a relative. Condolences to each and every one of you. Again, thank you to our essential workers, our frontliners, our military. Keep the military prayed up. You understand? Because they are now in a war that they don't even know what's going on, but now they have to use their training because this is what they trained for, and now they're being put out there. So keep them covered in the blood. Also keep their families covered because they need it at this particular time right now. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and ring the bell to LSOMASK Wiggly D YouTube channel because there you're going to find this information. It's going to be uploaded so I can see what LSO will do behind the scenes. We did a lot behind the scenes, but we didn't do much because we did commercial free, so that right there saved a lot. Yes, I believe she is much older. LSO have the newest item to LSO collection is the towels. Just as fast as they came in, they went out the door. So I'm telling you now, if you want your towel, you need to reach out to LSO and pre-order yours right now so that when it comes in again, you'll be the first to get yours. LSO is going to be a vendor Saturday, March 19th at a comedy show. Who knows, LSO may hit the stage. No, I'm not a comedian, but LSO is a poet. So she may give you some snap, some spoken word, and change your whole entire life. She'll be at the Atrium, I think that's how you say it. It's 14 Park Street here in Brooklyn. And in order to get the tickets, I don't think they're selling tickets at the door. You have to go to, wait a minute. I know I have a piece of paper here somewhere of where you have to go. You have to go to The Invisible Bully, BKLNY.com. Again, it's The Invisible Bully, BKLYN.com. And there you can purchase your ticket. And you can come in and join. You can join and you can see the comedy show. There's a comedy show for 7 and one for 9. Also, Entrepreneurs Unite presents an LSO pop-up shop, and we're looking for vendors. If you would like to be a vendor, reach out to LSO at 718-666-1336 and see how you can be a vendor. First come, first serve. The spots are going quickly, so if you want to be a vendor, please be sure to reach out to LSO so that you can be a vendor. I want to thank each and every one of you for your love and support. Those who answer questions in the group, and those who actually came on for the live today, we greatly appreciate it. Ms. K, what would you like to say for this evening? Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Okay, so authentically rich, and you asking me for my shout-out, right?
Yes, this is your
authentically
shout-out.
Rich. Yes, authentically rich, sorry. And Queen's Crown. Authentically rich and Queen's Crown.
Okay, someone said, I first got to get something to wipe. I lost my stick. Listen, you better go out in the backyard and find you a new stick. But you can use your towel for anything. I call it a cum towel, but you can use your towel for anything. It's a hand towel. I did have it right here, but, of course, I moved it, so it's no longer right here.
You better get some baby wipes.
Huh?
Baby wipes. Baby wipes.
When you need it, and there's also a saying on there, so you need to have it in your collection. Miss Nosings, what would you like to say,
hello,
my honey?
One, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your show tonight. I appreciate all the love from everybody that was on, the questions and everything. Sis, do you understand how sexual you are is available on Amazon, and also you can hit me up on IG. And like I said, I appreciate everybody, Miss K and D. Smith, you, and I really had a great time.
Well, I thank you for being on with us. We had to have a part two because part one was just so phenomenal. We couldn't even get all the questions. Yes, we love you too. We couldn't even get all the questions answered. We got about four questions answered. So we appreciate D. Smith. Come and give us some of that, D. Come on.
Hey.
Give us.
You got to take it all if you got to take it all if you get some.
I can take it all. I can take it wherever you put in it.
Listen, shout out to you ladies, man.
You
and,
want me to take it, boom?
Take it wherever you can fit it.
Ooh. Hit it every place.
shout out to you ladies, man.
Give the listeners something.
Always a good time. Always a good time, man. Shout out to LSO. I appreciate you, girl. Love you. Shout out to Miss Noni and Miss K. Love talking to you guys, man. That was a great show, man. So thank you guys for tuning
in.
Yeah,
fantastic show.
YouTube channel. Get This D on YouTube. And check me out every Thursday on Instagram for my Get This D Live show. All right,
exactly.
So see y'all there.
LSO. D, right there. Y'all talking about LSO with Taboo Topics? This one right here. He make you think and make you do some things. And some people may or may not know. D. Smith, actually, I'm the one, this is how I got my show, through D. Smith. We were in a group together on Facebook, and asked me to come on his show for my first book, Taste and Treats. And yes, he does speak the truth. And I came on his show. Well, some other people probably came on his show too. But I was on his show, and from his show, the manager of the show enjoyed our conversation or enjoyed my interview, and that's how I got my own show from him. So, D. Smith, thank you because of you. This is where it all started, and we have so much more work to do together because I'm going to fly out and just bombard his studio. And he gave me permission. Love you more, baby. And he gave me permission to do that, too. So I'm going to bombard his studio and just walk on set like I'm supposed to be there. So if anybody want to come with me, let me know because this is what we're doing. Remember, we will be coming every Monday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune into lawlessradio.com or via phone at 646-478-5209. And don't forget to tell a friend and invite them to listen in as well. We have some more spectacular shows coming up, and they want another show from us, so we'll see how our schedule is played out so we can do another part. If you're looking for a platform to promote your brand, call or message LSO at 718-666-1336 to find out how you can be a sponsor of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. Hey, Arthur Chanel. Lawless Radio started on the premise of TL, the chairman, with his vision and his promise to support your local come-up. So if you want your music played on Lawless Radio, go to lawlessradio.com and submit your music, and there you can hear your music played on the show. Tonight we didn't play any music, but that's okay because I spoke to the manager about it, and I said we needed a commercial free so that we can get all the comments in and get all the word going across, straight across the board. Let's show our support for one another. Order LSO merchandise at treatsnthings.lso.com. There you can find the books, the calendar, the paddle, the cards. You won't find the, the towels, because they didn't even make it to be in on the website. So I'm going to post mine, and I'll put it up there so you can order, but they are coming back in. Thanks to JJNR718, he's the one who put it all together, my vision. He put my vision, exactly what I wanted on the towels, and then I can present them to you. You can order Ms. K's book at kshep-sff.com. She has Authentically Rich, and I can't remember the second book that she has. And also, Ms. Knows Things, Do You Know How Sexual You Are? I think that's the title of her book. But she has a book out. Both of those books is actually very interactive. So if you're looking to learn something about yourself, those books right there. I was pissed with both of them with reading the books, but I actually learned more things about myself, or things that I actually suppressed. And I had to bring it to the forefront because of the questions that they asked or the statements that they made within their books. And then I actually had the opportunity to sit and talk with them in reference to my answers of me answering the questions in the book. So, in closure for this evening, this was a great Monday night evening, and I'm glad you spent time with us engaging in conversation, laughs, jokes, or, you know, in the Facebook Live. As the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show continues to have an extraordinary Monday night ride, after each show, we hope we leave you with hugs, love, and all of that in abundance, because somebody may not have been told that they've been loved today. So just know, LSO, Ms. K, Ms. Knows Things, and D. Smith, we love you. Same way we can hate you for no reason, we can do the same. We can love you for no reason. We hope you enjoyed on this journey with us. And we had conversation in full transparency. This is who we are. This is what we do. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and we left you with something to think about on the topic, life's challenges, coping in the moment, lasting a lifetime. The end result is to refocus, restructure, redo, remove, and all the re's that will align you back into your life's formation. And I didn't say anybody else's. I said your life. Pieces of advice. Shift your energy to manifest good vibes and positive energy. Every day is not going to be a good day, but you can still have a great day on purpose. Why? Because you deserve. Change your thoughts to your manifestation. We are living in times where it's very evident that you must live in every moment. So you know what? You do just that. Live and enjoy. We have every day to live, but we only die once. So since we have many days to live, do so. Be sure to be your best version of yourself each and every day. I didn't say be the version that other people wanted you to be. I said be your best version. Why? Because you deserve. Put yourself first and pour into yourself and applaud yourself when necessary. Stop looking for the amen corner to, you know, pat you on your back and say, yes, you did a good job. Mm-mm. Pat yourself on the back. Bam, bam, there you go. Each and every day is a gift to you, so don't take it for granted. Live happily in your moment. Why? Because you deserve. You are enough. Elevate yourself. You are great. You are strong. You are needed. You are loved. Be sure to spread love and joy to those who need, because you never know, you may be entertaining an angel. So, if God's will, we'll see you each, or we'll talk to you next week. So stay prayed up. Be careful and stay safe. My hashtag is my LSO journey. Hashtag love yourself organically. Hashtag I deserve. Hashtag backseat. Hashtag I am. Ms. K's hashtag is authentically rich and fix your crown. Ms. Knows Things hashtag sexuality coach. I'm just giving you a hashtag. And D. Smith hashtag is get this D. Yours in sweetness, LSO. Have a good night, everyone.